Father God, as we pause on this beautiful day, God, we pause to thank you for each breath of life that you have given each one of us this day. And Father, when we leave this place in a little while, may we say, I was glad when they said unto me, let us go into the house of the Lord. Father, I thank you for your blessings upon us, for the goodness, for the greatness of Almighty God. Today, as we stand here in corporate worship together and fellowship, oh God, with one another, Father, we pause to exalt your name and to lift your name on high. Father, we pause today to ask you to speak to our hearts and, Father, to remind us of what it means to be a Christian today. God, as we look, as Paul wrote to the Roman church so many years ago, Father, what he was trying to say there, what my life as a Christian should reflect, what my life as a Christian ought to be to a world that is growing darker each new day. Father, I pray for the many in this world. Holy Spirit, that you would move throughout this world, quickening hearts of people, oh God, who will turn in faith to you. God, we realize that the world as a whole is in a critical place. We realize, oh God, that changes are happening faster than we ever expected them to happen. God, I pray today that as we unite our hearts and worship, oh God, that you would speak to us about our own personal, individual Christian lives, where we are, where we stand, where we need to remember things that are so important to you and to our witness in the world that we live in. Father, I pray today, turn our hearts toward you, Holy Spirit. For it's in Christ's name we pray. And all God's people said, Amen. God bless you for being here this morning. I'm reminded what the poet Henry Wadsworth Longfellow said many years ago. He said, lives of great men all remind us we can make our lives sublime and departing leave behind us footprints on the sands of time. You see, our lives can be blessed by the lives of others that have lived their lives before us, the lives that they lived, the messages they proclaimed, the motives from which they served the Lord. I don't know about you this morning, but I appreciate all those who lived Jesus in front of me in my formative years of life and demonstrated to me the truth that regardless of what we do, our motives should always be for the right reason. I believe the Apostle Paul was that kind of a man. You know, Paul, before he ever met Christ on the Damascus Road, Paul was a great persecutor of the Christian faith. He was a great persecutor, even consenting to their deaths and to their stonings. But I believe that when Paul met Christ that day on that Damascus Road, his life was forever changed. He was totally sold out to Christ. And I believe that he wanted his life, the rest of his life, to be committed to be a great influence and to be a great power in the early church. And certainly I don't believe that Paul's example has been matched in the world that you and I live in today, but Paul was a living example to us of what a genuine Christian should be. And in our text for this morning from the book of Romans, Paul's writing here to the Roman church, and we're going to look at each one of these verses in a few moments individually, but Paul introduces himself to these believers, to these Christians there in the Roman church. And he tells them who he is. He's God's messenger. He comes with a message of the gospel of grace. And then he turns the spotlight upon himself in a real way. He shares with this Roman group of believers whom he's never met. In fact, Paul wanted to go to Rome. It was so important. He wanted to be there. He wanted to go there. He wanted to preach the gospel. And so he's not there. And so he writes this letter to these fellow Christians in Rome. Paul reveals 9 important traits that I want you and me to take away this morning. There in your bulletin, you'll need to fill in one word of each of those 9 traits of a genuine characteristic of what a Christian ought to be, and so that others can see us and see Christ living in us. How does my life, how does your life this morning measure up as a Christian to a lost culture out there at large? Let's listen in this morning on what the Apostle Paul is writing to these Roman Christians. If you will, in Romans chapter 1 and verse 8, we see, first of all, every Christian should be thankful. There in your bulletin is that very first point. Every Christian should be thankful. And in verse 8, Paul says to the Roman Christians, first, I thank my God through Jesus Christ for you all, because your faith is being proclaimed throughout the whole world. Paul begins as he writes to these Romans about what his motivation is, what his attitude is, and he tells them, first of all, that he's thankful for them. You see, there is absolutely no envy whatsoever in him. Paul did not found the Roman church, although there were people in the Roman church that Paul had witnessed to. But the church itself had been founded by someone else. That would have made a lot of people jealous of the blessings that these Romans were enjoying. But notice, these people were the talk of the entire world of their day. It says, because your faith is being proclaimed throughout the whole world. And so Paul praises the Lord, whether this church was a part of his ministry or whether it wasn't. I think one of the things you and I need to learn this morning from the Apostle Paul is that every Christian should be a thankful people. In fact, I know a thankful spirit is the Lord's will for every single Christian's life. Look what Paul said in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 18. He said to the Thessalonican Christians, he said, in everything give thanks, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. Now, I'm confident of the fact that all over the world this morning, even among Christians, people would say, in everything give thanks. I should give thanks of things that I'm really not thankful about. Well, Paul said, in everything give thanks, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. Now, we would all do well this morning to learn more about being grateful, about being thankful for the blessings that come in our lives. And many Christians this morning, all over the world, many are very thankful for the blessings of God in their lives, but there are lots of people that do not express that gratitude of thankfulness to the Lord. How do we go about cultivating this thankful spirit? The real answer, I believe, to that lies in the fact whenever we place Jesus Christ as first and foremost and the center of our hearts and lives, I believe that that is what brings sufficiency in life. I believe that's what brings satisfaction to our lives in an unsatisfied world that we live in. Where you see, if on the other hand, it takes material and physical blessings to make us thankful, then we are likely that we are going to be defeated and discouraged and depressed. You see, I believe the secret lies in the fact, am I satisfied with Jesus? Is Jesus enough? Is he my sufficiency? The old hymn says, I'm satisfied, I'm satisfied, I'm satisfied with Jesus. But the question comes to me, when I think of Calvary, is Jesus satisfied with me? Let me tell you, we don't know exactly what Paul prayed for the Roman Christians here, but I'm confident of the fact of some other places in Scripture where Paul is writing, for instance, to the Philippians. In chapter 4 of Philippians, in verse 10 through 13, Paul is writing, and we see what he has prayed for them. But I rejoiced in the Lord greatly that now at last you have revived your concern for me. Indeed, you were concerned before, but you lacked opportunity. Not that I speak from want, for I've learned to be content and whatever circumstances I am. He says, I know how to get along with humble means, and I also know how to live in prosperity. And then notice what he says, and any and every circumstance, I've learned the secret of being filled and going hungry, both of having abundance and suffering need. And then he says in verse 13, I can do all things through him who strengthens me. The problem is most of us do things in our own strength. I also believe that every Christian and every church should have the same testimony that these Roman Christians had. They were known everywhere because of their solid faith, because of their lifestyle. And that should be true, I believe, of every Christian at New Hope Baptist Church. I believe that whether we're at home or whether we're out on the job, whether we're out there in the marketplace or on the streets, I believe there should be a testimony that marks us as belonging to the Lord Jesus Christ. So every Christian, first of all, Paul tells us, should be thankful. And then in verse 9, we see that every Christian should be committed. Every Christian should be committed. Notice what Paul says, for God, whom I serve in my spirit, in the preaching of the gospel of his Son, is my witness as to how unceasingly I make mention of you. Notice what Paul is speaking about commitment. Paul tells these Romans he's committed to the Lord, and that every word he speaks, everything he writes, everywhere he goes, Paul was a living witness. He was a living example of total surrender. And when nothing else matters in your life and my life but the Lord, the work will get accomplished. I don't know where the message this morning finds you, but I know that this is an area that I can always find room to work on. Every Christian should be committed. Notice in verse 9, he says, for God whom I serve. That word serve, you see it, it's my opinion that there's no greater form of worship that can be rendered unto the Lord than pure, heartfelt service and devotion to the Lord. I read an article this past week that was really interesting. It was talking about Americans and a survey they had taken and a poll about serving. And it said that most of them spoke up about the importance of serving, but how few truly serve. And I asked myself the question, And I ask all of us the question, am I a committed Christian this morning? Am I a committed Christian to share my life with the world, with other people? We should be. Paul said in Romans chapter 12, verse 1 and 2, "Therefore I urge you, brothers, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies a living and holy sacrifice acceptable to God, which is your spiritual service of worship. And do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind so that you may prove what the will of God is, that which is good and acceptable and perfect." I believe that every Christian should be a thankful Christian. I believe, secondly, that every Christian should be a committed Christian. Thirdly, Paul gives us in the latter part of verse 9, our third trait as a Christian. Every Christian should be prayerful. Paul speaks about that. He makes mention of these Roman Christians. I believe that every Christian should be a prayerful person. You see, not only was it Paul's task to go out and preach the good news of the gospel, but his secondary ministry was being a prayer warrior for the Lord. I believe he made prayer a priority of his Christian life. The Roman believers were never excluded or taken off of Paul's prayer list. Now, we have no record of what he prayed for here on behalf of these Romans, but as he prayed for other believers, I'm sure he was praying the same things for them. Look what he said to the Ephesian Christians in Ephesians 3, 14 through 19. "For this reason, I bow my knees," he said, "before the Father, from whom every family in heaven and on earth deserves its name, that he would grant you, according to the riches of his glory, to be strengthened with power through his Spirit in the inner man, so that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith, and that you, being rooted and grounded in love, may be able to comprehend with all the saints what is the breadth and the length and the depth, height and depth, and to know the love of Christ, which surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled up to the fullness of God." And then notice what he said to the Philippians once again in chapter 1 of Philippians, verses 9 through 11. "And this I pray, that your love may abound still more and more in real knowledge and all discernment, so that you may approve the things that are excellent, in order to be sincere and blameless until," he says, "the day of Christ, having been filled with the fruit of righteousness which comes through Jesus Christ to the glory and praise of God." And then Paul prayed to the Colossians that they would be filled with the knowledge of his will and all spiritual wisdom and understanding. Let me tell you, Paul was an example of a person of prayer, not selfish prayer. I think all of us, if we're truthful and honest enough, that whenever we pray, most of our prayers are really more selfish, aren't they? It's more about, "God, what can you do for me? God, what can you do for me? God, what I need in my life." But let me tell you, when Paul prayed for others. Others, Lord, yes, others, let this my motto be. Help me pray for others that I might live like thee. Let me tell you, Paul realized that prayer, if anything was going to happen, if people were going to trust in the Lord, Paul realized that prayer was expedient, that prayer was an urgent matter in the life of a Christian. Let me ask you and me this question I've already asked myself. How would you describe your prayer life? Do you have a prayer list of people? Do you have prayer requests on there? Do you have needs of other people? I mean spiritual needs, physical needs, financial needs, medical needs. Whatever the issue is, do you have a prayer list that you're praying specifically? Let me tell you, I believe, as James said, it's the effectual, the fervent prayer of the righteous man that avails much. Let me ask you a question this morning. The next time you pray, examine your prayer. See if it's about yourself or is it about others, responding to others, interceding for others. Let me tell you, every Christian, I believe, according to these nine traits that Paul tells us about here to the Roman Christians, every Christian should be thankful. Secondly, every Christian should be committed. Thirdly, every Christian should be prayerful. An old hymn of long ago says, I would be prayerful through each busy moment. I would be constantly in touch with God. But Paul gives us a fourth trait here in verse number 10. Every Christian should be surrendered. Every Christian should be surrendered. Always, he says, in my prayers, making request, if perhaps, now at last, by the will of God, I may succeed in coming to you. Let me tell you, Paul was so surrendered in his life. Paul wanted to go to Rome, but Paul was willing to surrender his life to the will of the Lord. Paul was willing to lay aside his own plans so that he might know the will of God and do the will of God. So oftentimes, I think in our Christian lives, we really sort of prioritize our list of things by what our flesh wants to do rather than what is the will of the Lord. I believe that the Lord wants every born-again person to be willing to place His will ahead of our own will. Paul had a heart for Jesus, a heart that had no higher goal than to please the Lord Jesus. In fact, Jesus says Himself in the book of John, chapter 4, my food is to do the will of Him who sent me and to accomplish His work. Imagine what the Lord could do. Imagine what the Lord could do with churches all across America this morning. What the Lord could do if every Christian was thankful, if every Christian was committed, if every Christian was prayerful, if every Christian were surrendered to the will of Almighty God. And then fifthly, he gives us another trait. In verse 11, every Christian should be usable. He says in verse 11, for I long to see you so that I may impart some spiritual gift to you that you may be established. What Paul was saying there is Paul wanted those Roman Christians, he wanted to impart some spiritual gift to them, to encourage them to be usable. Paul wanted his life to be usable for the Lord. Let me ask you a question. Does your life just become daily routine? Does your job just become ritualistic and routine? Is your job one that you truly feel like, God, I want to be usable. I want to be usable for you. I want to be usable for you. One of our members came to me this morning. Gary is a truck driver, drives all over the United States for a great company. And Gary was sharing with me this morning. He said, oh, Pastor, I'm so happy to be in church this morning. He said, I'm going to be in Nebraska and Kansas next week and down in Bryan, Texas. And he said, I couldn't get the broadcast last week. And he said, even though it's not like being there, it's so good to be in the house of the Lord. Gary, God's using you, buddy, at that job where you are. Let me ask you a question. Is God using you? Are you available to him? Do you want to be used? I believe that every Christian should be usable. Paul wanted to go to Rome and be used of the Lord to be a blessing to someone. But let me tell you, it just wasn't in God's plan for him at this particular moment to be there. Have you plans today to want to be a blessing to someone? Do you want to be a willing, usable vessel that God can use you wherever that you are? Let me tell you, there's a sixth trait he gives us here. This morning in verse number 12, every Christian should be humble. He says, that is, that I may be encouraged to gather with you while among you, each of us, by the other's faith, both yours and mine. Let me tell you, Paul was speaking here about humility, how that we need to be humble. We need to be blessings to each other. You see, there's never a place that you and I have arrived, but we should be learning, we should be growing in our Christian faith as we're walking in this world so that others could see Christ living in us. Paul realized when he wrote to another church, the Philippian church, that he had not attained that perfection that he wanted to attain, but Paul desired that. God pity the person who thinks they are an island unto themselves. Let me tell you, before the great missionary to India, William Carey, before he boarded the ship to sail to India to be a vessel of honor, to be used of God, he was asked by some of his friends if this is what he really wanted to do. And William Carey said this, I will go down into the pit itself if you will hold the rope. Many of us need to go down into the pit, don't we? We need to be used, usable out there. You and I need each other desperately as we work together in this particular day and time. Keith and Sharon sing a beautiful song, If There Ever Was a Time. Let me tell you, folks, if there ever was a time, the church needs to work together. Christians need to work together. Christians need to pray together. Christians need to be usable together. I believe it's now. Let me tell you, every Christian should be thankful. Secondly, every Christian should be committed. Thirdly, every Christian should be prayerful. Fourthly, every Christian should be surrendered. Fifthly, every Christian should be usable. And sixthly, every Christian should be humble. God loves humility. God loves humble people. The Bible speaks about pride, how that God hates pride, and that we need to be humble people and working together for the good of the Lord. And then the seventh trait he gives us in verse 7, every Christian should be fruitful. Notice in verse 13, I do not want you to be unaware, brethren, that often I've planned to come to you and have been prevented so far, so that I may obtain some fruit among you also, even as among the rest of the Gentiles. Every Christian should be fruitful. You and I should be bearing fruit for the Lord. Paul says that he had liked to go to Rome. He wanted to be there. He wanted to be able to get some fruit there in his ministry. He desired not to be about himself, not to promote himself, not to build himself up, but rather for the glory of the Lord. When Scripture speaks of spiritual fruit, there are some things we think about. Let me ask you, the fruits of the Spirit, love, patience, joy, all of those things that Galatians speaks about. But it also speaks of activity. Are we out there? Are we trying to add fruit to our labors by reaching souls for Christ? Paul was reaching souls for the Lord Jesus Christ. Back some months ago, when I believe the Holy Spirit laid upon my heart to make that little track about salvation, and I didn't put that it was from this church, I didn't put my name on it, I didn't put any of that on it, I just, a little pamphlet, how to be saved. Someone called me the other day, said, "Pastor, do you have any more of those?" We give those out to every family that we serve here in our city. And I said, "Well, I'll tell you what, I'll bring you what I've got left and I'll order some more." Let me tell you, I don't know who all will receive those. I don't know who all will read those. Perhaps you've taken some of them and maybe you've left them on a table somewhere. I made it very simple because I think the gospel is simple. It's a simple message. The Bible says that even a child can understand it. But I want you to know, whoever's passing those out, giving those out, sharing those, it's planting seeds in the hearts and the lives of people. Let me ask you the question, are you a fruitful Christian this morning? And then notice in verse 14, he gives us our eighth trait. Every Christian should be obligated. But verse 14, Paul said, "I'm under obligation both to Greeks and to barbarians, both to the wise and to the foolish." Paul was interested and feeling obligated for those that did not know Christ as their personal Lord and Savior. Paul was a soul winner. Paul wanted to be a soul winner for Christ. And Paul realized that time was fleeting. Moments were passing. He was a driven man. He felt he was a debtor to every lost soul in the world. And he had a great need in order to share the gospel with other people. I believe that every Christian is indebted as well. Not indebted to God for our salvation, because that was a free gift to God to us when we in faith turn to Him. But I believe every Christian is indebted to those who are perishing around us. That old hymn, "Rescue the perishing, care for the dying, snatch them in pity from sin and the grave. Weep o'er the erring one, lift up the fallen, tell them of Jesus, the mighty to save." And then lastly, Paul gives us one other trait that every Christian should have in verse 15, and that is every Christian should be enthusiastic. "So for my part, I'm eager to preach the gospel to you also who are in Rome." Notice that word, eager. He's enthusiastic. Paul's motivated. He's passionate. He's moved by strong, urgent desire or interest to tell others about Christ. I want you to know, I believe that every Christian ought to have a desire to tell others about Jesus. Now, I'm going to give my staff a real plug here this morning. My staff ought to really appreciate their pastor, because I read several articles this past week where some ministers over their staffs request them to lead somebody to Christ ever so many minutes. Come on, guys, say amen. I'll get them on Tuesday. No, seriously, you know what? I believe that's the work of the Holy Spirit. I believe that's the work of the Holy Spirit. I don't command my staff to do that. If they know Jesus, and I'm confident they do, then I'm confident of the fact that they're going to reach out when the Holy Spirit leads them to plant seeds or to win people to Jesus. And when I read that and saw the abuse that was being used in the pulpit by some for their staffs, I saw that and I thought, you know, I wouldn't want to work for a guy like that either. And so I'm grateful that I never had to work for someone like that in the pulpit. But let me tell you, Paul was saying this, Paul was saying, my life as a Christian, that everybody's out there, people are watching, people are looking. A lot of people in this day and time are criticizing, marginalizing lives. I'm very dyslexic when it comes to some words. But you know what I'm saying, Christians all over the world are being marginalized. And folks, I want you to know that you and I are living in a period of time when if we do not walk the walk that we talk, we're not going to have an influence on a world out there that needs the Lord Jesus Christ. I leave us with this. Is there a lack of eagerness, of enthusiasm? Is there a lack of urgency that you and I need to deal with? I always ask myself this question for myself. You can determine whether you need to ask it for yourself, but I always ask myself this question. If every Christian were just like me, what kind of world would this world be? With your heads bowed, with your eyes closed, no one looking about, would you stand as we come to this time of invitation? I hope today through these 9 traits that Paul gives us about our Christian lives, I hope that somewhere within each of our hearts, we've had an examination to see where we may be falling down on the job as a witness for Jesus. There's someone here this morning that's never trusted Jesus. The most important thing you can ever do in all of your life is to reach out through faith and say, Lord, I'm a sinner. We've all sinned. We've fallen short of the glory of God. You came from heaven to dwell among us and to die for our sins on the cross, to shed your blood to cover our sins, and you rose victoriously from the grave to give us life everlasting. And Lord, I know that I'm a sinner. Forgive my sins. Cleanse my heart. Come into my life and walk with me all of my days. The Bible says, for whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be saved. If you've done that this morning, would you just let that be known? If you need to come down and pray at the altar, would you just come right now through these quiet moments? Maybe you're here and you're looking for a church home. We want to invite you to be a part of this great fellowship of believers. Father God, this is your invitation. We have done our job. We've thrown the news. Holy Spirit, it's up to you for any decisions that are made in the pew, out there in a field, plowing somewhere, driving down the road somewhere, listening into this broadcast, listening by television to YouTube. Oh God, wherever people are, Holy Spirit, move within their heart and life, I pray in Christ's name.